1 of Revelation talks about the person of Jesus Christ. Chapters 2 and 3 talk about the seven churches, and we went through them. Chapter 3 to chapter 4, the church is no longer mentioned. I believe the rapture of the church takes place somewhere at the end of chapter 3, the beginning of the book of Revelation. The last two churches are the churches of Philadelphia and Laodicea. I believe they're parallel churches, Philadelphia being the alive church and Laodicea being the dead church. And the Lord says to Laodicea, I will spew thee out of thy mouth. And I believe then God begins to deal with that backslidden church. The church Philadelphia is taken out. The Christian church is taken out. And the believers are not here for the 70th week of Daniel. Chapter 4 and 5 deal with the throne room of heaven. And as we go into the throne room of heaven, we see the beast and we see God sitting high on his throne. We see the glassy sea. We see the green rainbow around God. And it was, I enjoyed preaching on the holiness of God. His high and lifted up, loving God that makes the rainbow around him of green, meaning his grace is approachable by believers, separated though from the sin of this world. And that's where chapter 5 comes in. The little book is held up. The book with seven seals, mourning. It's all over, the people crying. No one is worthy to open the book until the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the earth, steps forward, takes the book, and that is Jesus Christ himself. And he is the kinsman redeemer as we have gone through all this. He has the right to redeem this world. He's willing to redeem this world. He pays the price to redeem the world. And as you chart in chapter 6, he starts to redeem the world. He takes that little book, and as you start chapter 6, verse 1, he opens the first seal. We discussed all this already last 2 weeks ago. We went through the first four seals. The first seal being the Antichrist, in my opinion, beginning to have a sway over the world. And he is melding together the one world government, one world economy, and all the different things that he's going to rule with. In the second chapter, we find then the man of sin's face mask is dropped, and he begins to rule with an iron fist. And then in the third chapter, we find, we're in chapter 6, in the third seal, with all this war taken on and all over the place, the government's destabilized, and the man of sin cranking down on mankind, famine spreads across the face of the earth. These different horsemen are being released. And the fourth horseman with the fourth seal is the pale horse. The pale horse is greenish pale. He speaks of death. And most commentators believe that in this series of things, the war, and then you find the famine, and now one-fourth of the earth seems to be touched. And many people believe it's plagues that are sweeping across the world. And one-fourth of the world is dead, dies. And that's where we left off last 2 weeks ago. Now we start Revelation chapter 6. Let's go in verse 9. We'll read. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, for the testimony which they had. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Here we have the fifth seal open. This is the seal of a cry of prayer. When he opened up, it says, I heard the souls of them that were slain for the testimony of the Lord and for the testimony which they held. They, verse 10, cried with a loud voice. And so I picked up my wrong notes. Would you excuse me? I'm going to re-preach today's message. It was okay the first time around, but maybe another time around won't be so good. Well, We've got a page missing. Just hang on a second. I found it. I would like you to look at three passages of Scripture that sort of sets this passage up. It shows you that this is not a surprise. Would you put little marks, maybe just put your fingers or stuff something in there? Matthew 24, Joel, which means the day of the Lord, or the day of Jehovah, Joel 2, and Isaiah 34. Matthew 24, Joel 2, and Isaiah 34. Let's start with Isaiah 34. Verse 1, come near, ye nations, to hear, and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear, and all that therein the world are in the world, and all things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Lord... Notice that expression. If you mark your Bible, please mark that. Indignation. If you're indignant, you're just, you've had enough. This just made, I'm filled up with it. So the indignation of the Lord, God is going to act. So the indignation of the Lord is upon all the nations, and his fury, circle the fury, upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood. And all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be, underline this, rolled together as a scroll. We'll see that in the sixth seal. And all their hosts shall fall down, as the leaf falleth off the vine, and as a falling fig from the fig tree. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Edom and upon the people of my curse to judgment. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness and with the blood of the lambs and goats. And on and on and on we could go in that passage. This is the judgment of God. This is in the day of the Lord. This is the day of God's indignation. And you notice they rolled back like a scroll. We're going to touch in that. Turn to Joel, please. I'll get there. Should have marked it. Joel chapter 2, look at verse 31. Verse 30, and I will show wonders in the heavens, in the earth, blood, fire, pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and terrible, underline it, day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. So we find here God dealing. Remember, we have dealt with the church age, but now we're dealing with the 70th week of Daniel. Where is the church in these sealed days? Where is the church at this time? It's been raptured. So God is going back to primarily dealing with this Old Testament Jewish promises, and he's dealing with that, not the first 69 weeks of Daniel, but he's dealing with that 70th week, which is the week of God's great wrath. We call it the great tribulation upon the earth. Then turn to Matthew chapter 24, please. Matthew chapter 24, these are foundational. This is Jesus on the Mount of Olivet discourse talking about the end times. And let's just read, please, verse 24. There shall arise false Christ. 24, I want verse 29. I'm sorry. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. This is the second coming of Jesus. What comes before that? Immediately, here's the tribulation. This is the 70th week. Now let's go back over to the book of Revelation. As we come into these last fifth and sixth seal, we're coming up to the day of the Lord, coming in its judgment time. And in verse chapter 6, verse 9, he opened that fifth seal, and I saw under the altar the souls of them that had been slain for the word of God. Let's stop and identify who they are. These are not Christians that are in heaven already by the rapture. I don't even believe it's the Old Testament saints. These are people, since the tribulation that has started, have believed in God, God's word, in Jesus Christ, and their lot in life is very hard. And many of them are being martyred. So these are the cries of the martyrs that are in the time of the tribulation. I believe not all of them, but a good many of them are Jewish people that have accepted God's plan of salvation. You notice when we read back in some of the scriptures, and those that shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. This group are these martyrs in the tribulation period that have tried to place a faith in God and God's plan. And now Antichrist, we've already read the first four seals. They are being persecuted. The world is being united. You have to have the number in your forehead. All these things are happening. And these people that are at all identifying with Jesus Christ, we look at the Iron Curtain and all of its hardness in Christianity. We look over in China, what might be happening behind the bamboo curtain over the years. That is nothing compared to what is going on in these times of the seals. And so these martyrs are crying out. Notice what they say. It says, verse 9, they were slain for two purposes. They were slain because they held the word of God. They believed what God said. Who's running the world in these few weeks, these few days? Antichrist. These people have said, that's not what God says, and they're slain. They're martyred. Notice also says, for the testimony which they had. We as believers in the age of grace, we need to have a testimony too. And there are martyrs in the days of the age of grace. But here are the martyrs in the tribulation that are crying out, as you can just, it doesn't tell us the numbers, but they're being rolled over. They're being eliminated. They're being killed. They're being slaughtered. Their blood is laying. And it says that their voices in verse 10, they cried out with a loud voice from underneath the altar. Now you have the different altars in the temple and all the rest. And of course you have the brazen altar and the rest where you make sacrifices. Most commentaries say this is the altar of incense, which represents the prayers to God. So here are these saints in the New Testament. These converts, I mean, not in the New Testament, in the tribulation period, that have stood up for the word of God. They stood up as a testimony. They've cried against the program of Antichrist. They've been slain. And so in verse 10, they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord? How long is this going to go on? Now, we think of it as just 1 week. We know it every week, day in the week represents a year. It's a 7 years of tribulation. And whether we take this to be this is the first half of the tribulation, and now we're coming into the great day of the tribulation, it's only been 3.5 years. Maybe longer. You can interpret it how you want. Maximum 7 years. But they're crying out in that short period of time. Mega numbers of them underneath the altar crying out to a precious God. And we already know that he treasures up those prayers, does he not? And these souls are crying out from underneath the altar, how long, O God? Have you ever prayed a prayer like that? How long am I going to go through this? And these saints have a right to say that. Lord, we stood up for your word. How long are you going to allow The saints, those that are trusting you, those that stand up, how long are you going to let Antichrist rule and reign? We know you're the God of gods. How long before the indignation of your wrath is going to be poured forth? And so these are the prayers of the saints. And not to sort of tip my hand as the rest of this, but I honestly believe the fifth seal triggers the sixth seal. The fifth seal is the saints saying, how long, how long, how long? The sixth seal is the Lord breaking forth in the initial part of the great day of the Lord. Lord, how long? And they're crying out, how long, how long, how long, how long? How long, O Lord? Notice how they address the Lord. That's worth marking this. They refer to him as holy and true. Our God is holy. Would he do wrong against these saints? Would he do what is right and true? Yes, he would. And that's what they're saying. God, we're not doubting your character. We're not doubting your word. But have you ever said to God, even though I know those things are true, how long? So the saints are being put to death. Their prayers are crying out. How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And as I read different commentators, I liked the way that they talked about this. On one side, you find these saints that are receiving the wrath of God. On the other side, you're going to find God giving them the white robes. Those that are being called false and wrong are being blessed and assured by our God. Could I say to you, our God is not out of control. And he says to them, you that have these white robes, what are the white robes signifying? Well, the white robes talk about our God is saying, what you've done is right. What you've done is true. What you've done is that which I can bless, and it speaks of purity. God's verdict is, you're pure, you're going to have white robe life, eternity, and you will have victory, and you'll have your vengeance. You'll receive the white robes. Man's judgment was they were guilty, and they were put to death. But what does the Bible tell us in the New Testament? Fear not what man can do unto you, but fear him that can touch your body and soul. So in verse 11, the white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest for a little season. A little season. Just be patient. I am not going to overlook this. This is an assurance to these prayers. And if you ever got a prayer, I'm not saying no, but not yet. You saints, I am not going to overlook this. Antichrist will be dealt with. Just rest and be assured that Antichrist and his forces will be dealt with. A time has been decreed for justice to come. But it will not be coming. Look at the end of verse 11. He said, yet rest a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Do you know God knows that in this tribulation period there are going to be those that stand up for him and they will be judged. They will be killed. And God knows all about it. And God knows that there's going to be a lot of suffering. And he says, and those that should be killed, just be patient. And when the bowl of wrath and of all this wrongness of Antichrist is full, I am going to come forth. Be assured. So the fifth seal is basically a seal of prayer. When you stop and think about it, let's just make a little application to us. Our prayers do make a difference in heaven. These prayers are brought and underneath the altar of incense, and now they're brought up into the attention of God. And God says to them, just be patient. Rest, for you will not be overlooked. And I have white robes, and you are right, and you will have the victory. He doesn't have the last word. Trust in me. I am holy and true. That speaks much to us. And as we go into the next seal, I want you to look at verse 12. Here's the sixth seal. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. The sun became as black cloth of hair. The moon became as blood. The stars of heaven fell upon the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it had rolled up together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb. For the day, great day of his wrath is come. Notice the last statement. The world knows this. Who shall stand against Jesus Christ? The world senses, as the sixth seal, Antichrist has risen up. That bowl of wrath is now filled up of the blood of the saints. The prayers are anted up. And now in the sixth seal, we find literally this is an answer to that fifth seal. It begins an orderly summary judgment of God upon the earth. This is going to trigger the trumpet judgments, seven of them. Seven bowl judgments, which we're going to get into in the next weeks and weeks. And this is just a warm-up of the tribulation that's going on. The martyrs cry, avenge us! Notice the cry here. Hide us and kill us! We don't want to face God for eternity! The martyrs say, it was hard to die. But dying is a temporary letting go of our earthly body. These people are going to face an eternal judgment of God. And they know it. All these judgments now are beginning to point to the Lord himself in chapters to come, riding on the white horse, and it's going to come in, written on his thigh, holiness unto God. And the saints following him, the signs that are in here, the sun, moon, and all the rest, the signs are in the sky are beginning to come. The sun, moon, the stars, the earth is beginning to quake. The great application of the wrath of the universe. The universe is shaking. And when these great men of the ones that are in the know, all these ones that we talk about, the kings, the mighty men, the rich people, all the ones that say they have all the answers, isn't it funny? They suddenly know exactly who it is that's bringing all this to pass. It's the Lord. It's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. In Joel chapter 2, we looked at this day of the Lord coming, and mixed into this, and we're going to bring this out in a different message. I believe the Holy Spirit has his hand dealing in all this. What's happened to the Holy Spirit in this period of time? I believe in the book of Romans, it says the Holy Spirit, when the church is taken out, then he which letteth will no longer let. Old English for he that holds back the sin of the world, his ministry will be changed. It isn't that the Holy Spirit will not work on the face of the earth, but he is not dwelling in the hearts of the church believers because the church is out. And can you imagine a world without the Holy Spirit holding things back. And I believe that you see Antichrist and all the motions of his wickedness coming in fruit. And I believe you see Jesus Christ, and I believe the Holy Spirit working on the face of this earth. It talks about first in this passage, it says the sun is darkened for a short time. Now, what does that mean? I don't know exactly how far the sun is away from us, but it's a long ways away. And talk about the sun being cut off from the world for any length of time. How many times have we heard on the radio that we're in a hot age or we're in a cooling age, and just a little change in the sun and the ozone and all the rest, God somehow seems to put his hand between the world and the sun. I don't know exactly, but it's darkened. It harkens back to me to the day when Jesus Christ died on the cross. And there was darkness in the afternoon. And there was something eerie about that. It's not supposed to be dark. But I think this is even stronger than this. But you see the face of God as he hides the sun from the earth. The sun becomes black as sackcloth. This is an image. Sackcloth is one of mourning. There seems to be an oncoming blackness, a judgment, a forward motioning of death to come. A blackness that falls upon the face of the earth and a mourning that comes forth. And I believe it's God's call for repentance upon the earth. The moon becomes like blood. And when you see a blood moon, you just almost always interpreted that there's death following. And the world sees the moon in a blood redness. And the atmosphere or whatever is happening to change all that, they begin to realize the universe is changing. The sun is changing. What is this black veil that's over the world? The moon is red with blood. Then it talks about the stars begin to fall. The word for stars in the original language is the word astar. And it could refer to literal falling stars. But I wonder, and you can interpret it how you want, if it isn't something like asteroids. Something from the heaven as stars flaming coming into the world. Just last week, we had the China little box of whatever it was coming flying over Michigan. Brother Boyce told me, he said, it was supposed to come over Pennsylvania. And he went down his basement. No, he didn't. He said, we should cancel church. No. That's just one little satellite falling from the sky. And can you imagine if the Lord just changed the asteroid belts? If God in some way took all the space junk and made it all start falling, you use your imagination. I am not going to be dogmatic, but the stars are literally falling. And I can't help but wonder as we read here, they're sort of targeted. They seem to be taking out Antichrist forces. Bam! Bam! And the world is saying, what is going on? The sun is not shining. It's as black as that cloth. The moon is red as blood. The stars are raining down their judgment. All this sounds like some sort of space wars, doesn't it? Who would have dreamed this 100 years ago? It seems quite plausible to our generation. Meteorites, solar flares, space debris, asteroids, comets, literal parts of stars. You take it as you will. It says it's like the fig tree when it loses its figs, but they're not in season. This should not be happening. The world is falling apart. All the laws are being tipped upside down. The sun is not even shining. The stars are falling. And the world knows that something is going on. This is just the beginning of God's wrath. Just the beginning of the day of the Lord. The sky then opens up as a scroll. But we sing that song, the skies be rolled up like a scroll, and many people say, well, that's the day of the rapture. This is where it actually comes from in the scripture. What does that mean? Well, it just seems to me that God just sort of says, let me peel it back and show you my arsenal. You know, back in chapter 4 and 5, we saw the throne room of heaven. Amen? Now God says, let me show you. You've had Antichrist, seal 1, seal 2, seal 3, seal 4. Now let God come on. And the day of his indignation is revealed. Skies are rolled back like a scroll. And God's wrath is beginning to be revealed. Well, it is such an amazing thing as this earth is going through all this that there's a response. Notice the response. I want you to look at verse 14. The heavens have departed, the scroll. Every mountain and island are moved out of their places. I skipped over that. It just says earthquakes. Mountains are moved and islands. I like what one writer said, the islands are like pinball machines. Ding, 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 ding. The mountains are going. I have never been through an earthquake. Anybody here ever have? I understand it changes your psyche after that. Because the world is not supposed to move. I'm trying to paint to you what's happening. The universe is revolting. Because the one that controls it, literally, from the stars, from the universe beyond, to the sea and the islands, to the mountains, gives you a brand new thought when the Lord says, if you pray to me, I can move mountains. He can! Do you doubt that? And here's our God moving the islands, moving the islands, moving the stars. They're falling out of the sky. Verse 15. Notice the people on the earth. There's seven categories. Kings, great men, rich men, military leaders, civil leaders. That's the mighty men. Slaves, free men. And they begin to call out unto God, the kings, the presidents of the United States, the king of this place, the czar of that place, the ones that are supposed to have it all together with the bunkers to go into. They said, we've got to hide. The great men, these are the world leaders. Maybe they're not a king, but these are the Rothschilds. The Illuminati. You fill in all the great quiet men. They got all the financial levers of the earth. The great men, the rich men, the financial leaders of the world. The people that are supposed to be above it all. Do you remember one of the earlier seals? All the other people in the world are having hard times and they're being starved and 1/4 of the world is dying. But not the rich people. Not the military people. Not the leaders. Who's crying out here? The kings. The people that couldn't be touched. The people that have bunkers deep in the ground. And do you know, if you read much lately about all the richest people in the world and how they're making these huge bunkers in the sides of mountains that they could live for years down in these things in case of nuclear war, I want you to understand that these people are going into places like this and they're not saying, ha ha, we got you. They say, we don't want to face God. Mountain, would you just kill us? But killing us will not stop judging us before God. So the great men, the presidents, the kings, the military leaders, the mighty men, the civil leaders. Notice in the middle of that, we come down to, it says, every bondman and every free man. And it makes no difference whether you're the bottom of the rung or whether you're just an average citizen, free or bond. They're all running. And notice what it says. They hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and they said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us. They didn't say, protect us. They didn't say, hide us until this is over. They said, kill us. We'd rather die than face God. Whatever is already happening, do you get the idea? They have a new reality. God is God. Their creator. Jesus said it's harder for a rich man to get into heaven than it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Philippians says that every knee shall bow and will call the Lord, Lord someday. Verse 16, and they said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Do you understand here that it isn't God himself that's announcing to the world, the Lamb is coming, the Lamb is coming. It's the leaders and everybody. Everybody knows that it's God. America may be walking away from God at a pretty good clip. But when you have September 11th happen, the church is filled up overnight. People say, what's going on? The trade towers, the Pentagon, out in the middle of that field in Pennsylvania, all these things are happening. And that was four little planes. And I don't know about you, but as a pastor, I had tons of people that had not been in church for a long time, and they said, we knew we should have been here all along. In this period of time, even though these martyrs have been put to death and being put to death, and their cry is coming out, now that bowl is full of all that stuff, and God's judgment begins to come, and the world knows exactly why. Hide us from God. Why? Verse 17. For the great day of his wrath, what's it say next? Is come. The world's heard about it. The world has doubted it. The world has laughed about it. The world has killed people for saying it. But now the whole world is saying, it's here! I don't do a lot of watching of Hollywood films and stuff, but you see advertisements. You walk past Redbox down at the store and all the rest. How many films are based on what's called the apocalypse? The day of wrath. The world knows what it is. Underneath their heart, they know that God is God. They know from creation. They know from all the things that have happened in their life. They know who he is. But they would not let him be God. The Holy Spirit is no longer convicting the groups like he's done. It's not that he's not moving. But mankind has been running at a break. Next speed away from God. And now they've run smack dab into the wall of God's day of judgment. And the sixth seal is open. And that leads us to the last five or six words. The great day of the wrath has come. And who shall be able to stand? Reminds me of Belshazzar. Remember the story of Belshazzar? He was in Babylon. Great fortified city. Best military armies. Food inside for years. Just to put his fist in their face as they surrounded his place. He said, I'm not worried about you. I'm going to have a feast. He called 1,000 of his leaders. And he had a feast. Well, he crossed the line. Do you remember him crossing the line? He called from the treasury, bring all those golden goblets that we took away from Israel's temple and bring those things that of their God. And they took all those holy vessels and he toasted the gods of the pagans. And as they're drinking and doing all the rest, all of a sudden a hand appears on the wall. Meanie Tekel Upharsin. Weighed, and you've been found short. And you go back and read what happened to Belshazzar. It says his loins were loosed. You know what that means? He potted and pooped himself. That's pretty graphic. I think I've done something I shouldn't. Oh, his legs. He potties himself. He calls for his leaders. They don't know what it is. Up comes Daniel. He said, you got one more night. There'll be a new people in here by morning. Sounds like this passage of Scripture, doesn't it? Oh, by the way, are we not connected to Daniel in these passages? The leaders of the world get filled with the drunkenness of their own power. And there comes a point where they think, like Caesar, they are God. But in this sixth seal, even the kings and the rich men and the mighty men and the military men and the leaders of this world, from the free man to the slave, runs to the mountain. If we go back to Matthew 24, he said, as this happens, and as the Lord comes back, pray that you're not pregnant when that happens. Pray that you're not nursing a baby when this happens, that you can flee. The stars are falling. The mountains are moving. God's judgment is here. And who can stand against this? The scroll has opened of the skies. And the day of God's wrath has come. And that leads us to chapter 7 in the seventh seal, which brings us to the seven trumpets. And God is going to deal with this world. I hope that you don't have to go in the tribulation. I'm not going to go through because the Bible says all believers will be taken out in chapter 3, between 3 and 4. I wouldn't want to go to bed tonight if I didn't know I knew Jesus. To realize that I'd have to stand before a holy and true God and have nothing to answer for my sin. I hope you know Jesus. The Lamb that was slain from the foundation of this world died for you. Is he in your heart? Let's bow our heads, please.